Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Another conversation that I wanted to have with you, and another story that I wanted to tell you as well, as we talk about as we head up to a conversation about the Uyghur Muslims, is that Turkey is accused of extraditing Uyghur Muslims to China in exchange for COVID-19 vaccines. So it's definitely there's no doubt in my mind that this is a very, very vulnerable group of people. And my concern is that we just don't seem to care. Well, is that or isn't that the case? Do we care? What do we do to show that we care? How do we, sitting here in South Africa, try and do more to raise awareness and to further the plight and to try and further the plight of the Uyghur Muslims? Editor-in-Chief of Muslim Matters, Henna Zuberi. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much on the show.
So it's great to chat to you. It's in some ways maybe horribly unsurprising, given the politics around this, but yet it's still quite appalling, I think, that this is happening in 2021, and all we seem to do is shrug our shoulders and read about it from time to time.
Yeah. Based in the United States in Washington, D.C., and here advocacy groups, I'm part of one called the Save Uyghur Campaign. We've been working with the U.S. government, really trying to get some push and passing bills. And, for example, the U.S. government just banned cotton and tomato products from that region. We're trying to get the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act passed over here, just like the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act was passed earlier. A lot of people put this down to be, it's politics, all politics, on behalf of the Trump administration. I just wanted to let people know this is more than 20 years of advocacy that has been put behind. The genocide has accelerated in the past 3 years. But this oppression and targeting of this population has been going on for many, many years, and so has the advocacy. So I urge people who are in other countries to join efforts to rally their government, just like citizens, concerned citizens are doing so in the United States, in Canada, in the UK. The UK Parliament just imposed fines on businesses who are dealing with forced labor. These are slave labor camps.
I was just going to ask you, if you could please, for any of our listeners who aren't aware of what is actually going on there, if you could maybe give us an overview.
Sure. Thank you so much for that. The Uyghurs and other Turkic Muslims, and there are some Christians as well. They're called minorities in what is known as the Western region of Xinjiang, in China. But this is a region that was it was a country of its own. It was known as East Turkestan. It was occupied by China. They had freedom for a while. They had several governments, and then the governments were toppled over under Mao. And currently what is happening in that region is since 2017, masses of people, millions, and I can certify this myself, every Uyghur I know that I have met with, the largest diaspora in the United States lives in this Maryland, Virginia area, has relatives missing, cousins missing, friends, colleagues, and they can't contact them. They have no way to be in touch with them. They have been taken, millions of them have been taken into these what are called re-education camps, but we believe that they are modern day concentration camp, completely they have places where they burn the bodies right next to the camps. And these complexes have been set up over in the entire area in that province. People who are doctors and lawyers and dentists, they are also being sent into these quote-unquote re-education camps. And once they go there, they are then further sent on either into labor camps, forced labor camps, or they're sent into prisons. Children have been sent to orphanages, and many women are left behind. And this is one of the most terrible parts about it. Some of these women are being forced to be married to Han Chinese men who come from mainland China, and others have Communist Party members living in their homes while their husbands have been taken into camps. So it's like a total division of the family. It's state-sanctioned rape. The level of atrocities, organ harvesting of healthy human beings. Now, you have to understand, Uyghurs live a very clean, healthy lifestyle. They don't drink alcohol according to their religion. They don't smoke. Their traditional cultural food is very clean. So they are being harvested. Their organs are being harvested. There's a wide multi-million dollar industry. We've seen pictures of airports where there are separate lines for organ transplants, where they're being and on demand. I've heard testimony from MIT researchers who have showed that in that region, the largest DNA testing plants have been set up, where if I was living in any country in the world, it could be Qatar, it could be South Africa, and I needed a heart or a liver, I can send in my DNA, and normally a process that might take months, within days I can be matched up with someone and get a organ on demand. Our organization has studied this. We believe this is a physical genocide. It is not just a cultural genocide, as has been said, for a while. The United Nations agrees that over 1 million Uyghurs have been detained in that area. Over 5,000 mosques have been destroyed. It's the level, every time a new report comes on out, the level of oppression is just mind-boggling. And many countries around the world are so indebted to China. They are part of the Belt and Road Initiative that they're, except for a few Western countries, no one is speaking up because they are economically indebted to the Chinese government.
It's absolutely horrific. And I was actually trying to find, because about a week or two ago, I took a screenshot, which I can't find at the moment. It was a tweet from the Chinese embassy in Canada, in fact. And it almost bragged about the, in inverted commas, re-education of Uyghur women. And, but really it was all code for forced sterilization. It was almost as though they were saying, you know, they now understand that, their bodies they're not just reproductive units. It could have come out of and I'm very reluctant to use the Holocaust that type of reference, but I do think it is absolutely apt under these circumstances. It really reminded me of what we would expect to see coming out of Nazi Germany, and it kind of just, it was there on Twitter, and of course some people reacted to it, but it horrified me that there was almost a no recognition as to how bad this is from the Chinese government themselves. Like, they don't see anything wrong with it.
I honestly believe that one day that tweet will be used against the Chinese government as we try them for genocide. this there, it was an admission for a forced sterilization.
Are you familiar with the tweet I'm talking about?
Yes, I'm absolutely familiar with it. We were horrified by the audacity of the Chinese government in sending out that tweet and using Uyghur women's these are not a people that they are liberating. I mean, if you look at the levels of education in the Uyghur community, it was just so orientalist. I mean, it's weird to just even say that the Chinese government will be orientalizing Uyghur people. But this is something that it was just that a very anti-Muslim trope that these are not majority of the people are uneducated. They've been kept under oppression for more than 70 years. And then to make it out like somehow that they're saviors. It's
horrific,
just
the
yes, this is something that is but it just shows the audacity, the level, because
we're a Jewish radio station, so we'd call it chutzpah, and it really is absolute chutzpah to oppress people and as you say, it's not just spiritual, religious, it's physical as well. It's of the worst kind. And then talk about it as though, well, you know what, the women have finally realized that they have choices over their body. Excuse me? it just took my breath away.
Exactly. And this is, to put this together with the forced sterilization. Now, forced sterilization has been going on in that region for a while. But what was happening before was that it was happening in smaller villages. It was happening, perhaps targeting more practicing, families, maybe faithful religious families. And now what we are seeing is that it has moved into the cities, and it had moved into even areas where they're card-carrying Communist Party members. So because in that region now, even if you wanted to be have a successful career or study in a university, you had to register with the Chinese Communist Party. And the people who are being targeted are now even those. And that is something that I have met several Uyghur activists who had told me, if in 2016 you had told me that my family would be targeted, I would have never believed you. Mm-hmm. Because we thought we were towing the government's line, that we were, you know, we weren't like one of those people out in the villages or one of those super practicing, you know, folks who perhaps dressed different, you know, were more conservative. Now everyone is being targeted. It doesn't matter whether you're secular, whether you are a philanthropist, actors, models, all of civil society, and especially leadership, especially the educated, the deans of universities, those people are being, you know, so when you leave a community devoid of all leadership, devoid of their artists and their musicians, then you are destroying them I mean, there's so much to talk about. We could talk about for ages. Children are being forced to learn Mandarin. Their names have been changed to Chinese names from Uyghur names. They're not allowed to name their, families aren't allowed to name their children any sort of Uyghur sounding names. People who have been taken to these concentration camps, if you look at the list, and these are from Chinese websites, so it's not something that other people are making up, they have been taken away for owning a tent, having too much canned food, smoking, quitting smoking, attending a religious wedding. The list is so, having relatives abroad can have you end up in these camps. And one of the biggest struggle has been is that when activists have spoken up about it, they are called, it's termed Western propaganda, and specifically American propaganda, that this is, you know, another Cold War, and the United States is, the Trump administration used it. But that does not negate that there is a genocide occurring. That does not negate that this oppression, this deep oppression of an entire population is taking place.
Hena, you should just read my SMS line. People are absolutely horrified. Jenny said, if the world doesn't act, and then we have learned nothing from the Holocaust. Clive says, M says, terrible what's happening in China. Ronnie says, I'm absolutely horrified at the atrocities and the brutalities that are backed up by the government, and we're just not doing enough. Clive says, people are being rounded up into buses. Windows had steel bars. It is horrific. I've seen pictures of it. It's just, you know, the messages go on and on. Mervyn says, Howard, if you don't want to read my messages, just say so. Mervyn, I do apologize. I haven't seen your messages. It might be that some messages haven't come through. I have suspected that today, but I read the messages that where people hate me the most, so you don't need to worry. I'm not censored. I don't censor anything. What did I say here? Howard, you played a great song and you talk about getting through COVID together, but you badmouth President Trump. When are you going to grow up and get rid of your extreme hatred? Grow up and stop. So that I read you that before. I really am not censoring anything. I'm very happy with or comfortable with you insulting me. Dean says, I think you show extreme tolerance for everyone's opinions. Thanks, Dean. But, I'm comfortable. What I'm not comfortable is with the situation in China. What do we do here in South Africa? Our listeners, we can see people are horrified, outraged just by speaking about it. Of course, we're doing something because we're raising awareness. But do we put pressure on our own government, other organizations? How do we do our bit here at the bottom of Africa to try and help?
Well, there are several Uyghur organizations, and I believe that there are grassroots organizations who are working on this in South Africa as well. Jewish diaspora has been absolutely fabulous in support here in the United States and Canada. And they form groups, Jewish for Uyghur, against Uyghur genocide, things like that. We see them all the time, and we work very closely with them in help having these acts passed. Really, just awareness.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to try and get hold of one of the groups. To our listeners, we'll see what we can do. Lindy, our producer, is going to see how she can, who she can connect us with locally, so that we can show local support. I think it is so important. It is so, we are all connected in the universe. If we don't take note of this, then I think that it is really reflects very, very poorly on each of our humanity. So we are going to do what we can to try and find a relevant organization locally here in South Africa and see what we can do to try and offer some support. And unfortunately, Hena, we do need to leave it there. Editor-in-Chief of MuslimMatters.org and leader of Justice for All, thank you for an incredibly important interview and for bringing this to light. It's absolutely critical that we speak about it. Good luck with all of the very important work that you are doing.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.